Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Well, Terry, we got some fun stuff to talk about today, including dogs who fly.
Flying dogs? I've heard of pigs that fly,
yeah,
but I've never
I
heard of dogs that fly.
This is pretty fun, huh? These are folks who are part of that underground that moves dogs hither, thither, and yon all over the country. How cool is that?
That's cool. You know? Is that Pilots and Paws?
It is Pilots and Paws.
Nice.
And they're all over the internet, right? And Twitter and all that stuff.
Twitter, and they've got a big forum set up. It's really kind of cool. They're very, very well organized.
And these are private pilots with their own planes?
Private pilots with their own planes, and they take and they'll move groups of dogs from point A to point B. And sometimes there's a cost involved as far as to pay for fuel. Other times there isn't. I think it depends on the pilot and what they can do. But it gets them airtime so they can keep their license up to date. They're obviously animal lovers because they're moving the pooches around. Actually, they move cats too, I think. But it's a neat program. Neat program.
It is. And we saw in the newspaper here recently that there are some folks here in the Richmond area who are involved. And so we're going to reach out to them and try to do an interview.
I think it'd be a really cool interview.
I do, too. Maybe we can do it down at one of the regional airports. Maybe we can do it in the plane.
In the plane while we're flying.
That's
there
right.
You go.
Take our dogs for a ride. Hey, Surrey Murphy. Want to go for a plane ride?
Oh, that'd be great. Those two clowns in the plane.
Oh, good Lord, yes. We might have to sedate them.
Or us.
That's a good point. So, yeah, we hope to be able to bring that to you guys sometime soon. We'd love to talk to these pilots just because it's an extraordinary thing that they do, and it helps rehome dogs.
Yeah, they move a lot of pooches. They were doing, they had a program, I think it was September, October of this year, 5,000 pooches in 30 days.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's a huge number.
That's a lot of dogs.
Wow. And I would love to know more about the organization, you know, like how long they've been around and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I follow them to a point, but I haven't gotten too deeply involved in it. Other than I did offer, because there is the local pilots that do it, I did offer if they need an overnight place or somebody, they know somebody that they could stay because I got plenty of spare bedrooms.
So. Oh, that's fabulous.
But I've never had anybody take me up on it, but I put it out there. So.
Well, and that's all you can do. But we'll be talking more about this, you guys, because what we've found out, you know, being just part of Bark Radio, is there is a lot of transporting of animals in this country in lots of different ways, and Terry has done it again. He's been part of a transport for a dog.
Yeah, this one was a different group that did it. I think this was Rescue Railroad, and they seem to be one of the very large ones.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're all nonprofit, volunteer-based, but they're very well organized.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a chance to help a Catahoula leopard dog puppy go to his forever home up in northern Maryland.
Oh, man, that's so cool. And, guys, that's not a breed that we hear about very often. So what do you know about Catahoulas, Terry?
Well, they're beautiful, for one thing.
Really?
They're amazing. And the colors are so vary so much because they're a mix of dogs, kind of like the cattle dogs you see. So I know a little bit. I know that they came to this country in the 16th century, and they are believed to be descendants of either of mastiffs and greyhounds.
Wow.
And what else was there? There was that they were bred for fighting.
Hunting
boars. That's right, not fighting, but hunting boars.
Oh, man. Can you imagine the brave that it takes to be a, 60, 70-pound dog and take on the hunting part of a wild boar?
Yeah. That would be
brave dogs. Very brave dogs, man.
But they're amazing. That they look like no other dog. I mean, they're
unique.
They're very unique. Not physically, but the colors are unique. So the body shape still looks doggish, right? It doesn't look they don't look drastically different than
the standard dog,
but the colors and the markings are where it really make it stand out.
And this one had blue eyes?
Had one blue eye.
One blue eye.
And beautiful spots on it, and just, it was very sweet. It was very shy. It was 4 or 5 months.
And I understand he rode in the back seat with your wife.
Yep. Vicky rode in the back, and he finally came out, got on her lap, went to sleep for the trip. So
what, you did about 100 miles?
No, because we only took him just north of Fredericksburg. Okay, so this was a shorter 50. Run. Okay. Yeah, it was a little over 50 miles.
And then someone else picked him up, and off he went to his new home.
Yep.
Oh, that's so cool. So, you know, we've talked about volunteering, you know, often on our show, you guys. Do what you can. If you're an animal lover, pick a thing. Do some kind of volunteer work, because every piece of it helps the animals. Yep. You know, just these little transports. One more dog has a forever home. It's a huge, huge thing. So thank you, Terry, for doing that.
I had a great time. He was such a cute. I wanted to keep him.
Yeah, I know how that is. But Vicky said no.
Vicky, she says that a lot. When can I keep this dog? No.
Plus, he already had a forever home that he was going to. So
well, they might have been upset, but they've gotten over it.
All right. So what else are we talking about today, Terry?
Well, we saw an interesting article. We've talked about Chinese crap dog toys and poisons and
toxins.
And we've talked about that before. So I saw another article on a recent study done. It was September of this year by a group called the Washington Toxics Coalition. Okay. Don't know who they are, but they made the papers.
All right.
They tested 400 different items, dog items.
This is not food items. This is
toys.
Toys or
collars
and collars. Yep. Like,
anything the dog might use or play with.
Okay.
Beds were included in that test. And 25% of them failed from a poison perspective.
So 100 of 400 failed the test.
Correct.
Which means they could possibly be unsafe for our animals.
Right. So they by failed means that they contained harsh metals like cadmium, mercury, arsenic, or lead.
Dandy.
And in quantities greater than 300 parts per million, which is what's considered safe for humans.
So some of the stuff that our dogs are playing with, wearing, or sleeping on could be making them sick.
Right. And one of the really interesting things, which is almost mind-boggling, was the tennis ball tests that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they tested human sports ball, and they tested doggy squeaky tennis balls, and the dog balls all had lead in them, but the human ones did not. And you would think that's pretty much the same process.
But not so much.
But the quality control's not there. They're doing it cheaper somehow.
So I think that's one of the things our listeners and all their friends and families and everybody who has a dog or a cat needs to remember in general terms, that we sort of assume that the products we buy are safe for our dogs and cats. And that's not a good assumption, because there are not controls on animal products like there are on human. And so be aware of your critters, you know? And this thing with tennis balls just makes me crazy, because everybody is, you know, so many people have tennis ball playing dogs. You know, they love their tennis balls.
Yeah.
And if they're wrapping their mouth over a lifetime around something with lead or whatever in it, that's just not good to me.
Well, one of the episodes, one of our early episodes, I talked about those tennis balls I bought at a dollar store.
Right.
And they smelled like diesel fuel.
And you took them back.
And I took them back. I wouldn't let the dogs play. That's not...
That was such an obvious, you know, hello.
Those reeked. I don't know what they soaked them in, but good Lord.
So, you know, be as an informed consumer as you possibly can be. And, you know, my rule these days is anything for my dogs, if it says made in China, it's not going home with me. And at this point, you know, what if it wore a collar? You know, absorbing heavy metals through the skin can't be good for your dog.
No.
I mean, that's not
good
a
for
sign.
You, so.
No. Can't imagine that it would be good for Murphy, Cody, Surrey, and Sparky. So be as informed as you can. Make your own decisions. My feeling still is, if enough of us didn't buy Chinese-made products for our animals, they wouldn't be on the shelves. Because it's all about commerce.
It is. Unfortunately, I think we're in a place in this country where that's going to be a hard thing to turn around.
Because, first of all, folks like convenience.
And, you know, cheap.
And cheap. That's right. So, just be careful, folks.
Yeah. They do actually have a couple tips that was in the article. And they, what they're advising is stay away from vinyls, soft plastics, brightly painted items, anything with rhinestones or trinkets on it. They're all more likely to have one of those poisons in it, lead or arsenic.
Okay, so those cute little frou-frou collars with rhinestones probably are more toxic than a standard collar.
There's a greater chance.
Yeah.
Because okay. they didn't list brands.
Right.
Now, there may be a full report out there somewhere, right. But didn't say. But that was their guidelines.
Well, it's a reasonable guideline, and there are so many toys that are just junk for dogs anyway. They either aren't interested in them or shred them and they're done with them. So, you know, my fallback is always Kongs. Kongs are safe. Kongs can be stuffed with any old thing, and they come in every shape imaginable. And to my knowledge, they're made well, and they're not toxic.
We buy, when we get the dog stuffed animals, we buy children stuffed animals. One, they're cheaper. And
they're made better.
And they're made better. Now, you have to take buttons and stuff right. that they might swallow off, which I do, and then I just stitch up where I took them off of.
But now those are going to have a different set of rules and regs about how they're manufactured.
Right, because they're for kids.
Right. So keep that in mind, guys. Don't buy the stuffed toys in the pet store. Buy them in the kid's store.
Yeah. The animal ones, and I've seen this in other articles, a lot of the animal toys get stuffed with whatever they have around. It's not just batting.
Ew.
It's just scrap whatever.
So it could be anything in there.
It could be anything in there. And if you have dogs like my dogs, they're like dissecting the animal before,
it's
before end of the day.
It's prey drive. I'm going to get that squeaky heart thing out of there.
Exactly.
So
be careful.
Yeah, just be careful, folks. And love those dogs. Take good care of them.
I think that's all we got today.
Out of here.
All right.